Lamentations. We have had a couple of lessons on the book of Lamentations in the last several weeks. Went on a little different direction last Wednesday night, but we'll come back to it tonight. And if you've ever read the book of Lamentations, especially up until this point and even into this point, there's really not a whole lot of encouragement. Hence the name Lamentations. The great preacher, prophet Jeremiah, God is speaking through. He has seen so much, and it has literally broken his heart. It has literally, as we'll see tonight, it has literally broken his bones. The wording is quite amazing that is used here. This third chapter is basically triple any of the other chapters. Again, every chapter in Lamentations, except this one, only has 22 verses because there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Well, this one is basically times three. We'll probably spend next week on, well, not next week, maybe the week after that, okay? And let's jump into this tonight and get through it as much as we can. First thing we're going to look at is the afflictions of Jeremiah. The afflictions of Jeremiah. He said, I am the man, verse 1, that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turned his hand against me all the day. We see here this first thought about these afflictions of Jeremiah. We see number one, or the first thought under that is, these afflictions are from the Lord. These afflictions are from the Lord. And basically here we see on paper what Jeremiah is going through. What Jeremiah is, in a sense, what Jeremiah is feeling. Now if you know anything about Jeremiah, Jeremiah was faithful to what God had called him to do. Jeremiah was faithful to proclaim the message that God had asked him to bring. But we also know that in Jeremiah's life, many people could care less about what Jeremiah had to say. Many people, we're going to look at it here in just a few moments, it even went further than just not caring what he had to say, but they even rebelled against him and put him in prison and, treated the messenger of God in a way that no wonder now, Lamentations chapter 3, he's speaking the way that he's speaking. This is coming from the heart of Jeremiah. Notice in verses 2 and 3, the Lord brings Jeremiah into the depths of darkness. Some key things to look at. It says, he hath led me. Again, as we think about the Christian life, you mentioned it in your video, this health and wealth and prosperity gospel isn't in the Bible. There are times when God leads us into difficult days. There are times when God allows us to go through challenging times. There are times when God, as it says here, that he brought me into darkness. It is difficult as you read this, as I read this, it is difficult for Jeremiah not to take it, this is the way I'm thinking about it, not to take it personal. Notice this. Surely against me is he turned. God has turned his wrath, or God is not wrath, but God has turned his judgment, or God has turned against me. Notice in verse 3, he turned his hand against me all the day. Why is Jeremiah in this condition? Notice verse 3 says, verse 2, that he brought me not into light, but into darkness. Jeremiah is in a dark place. The sins of the people are rampant. The sins of the people are overcoming. And I mean, it's all around him. There's no light. There's no end in sight. There's no joy at this point. There's nothing really, at this point. And I mean, if you know Lamentations 3, you know that it kind of builds and builds and builds and builds. And then he says some things down further in the chapter about the goodness of God. But Jeremiah is just writing from the heart, as the Holy Spirit's telling him. And he sees no light. Have you ever been at a point in your life where the end of the tunnel could not come any sooner? The light at the end of the tunnel, as they say. Have you ever had a time in your life where it just seemed like there every decision or every turn that you were making, that it wasn't going the way that you intended it to go? And again, I don't believe that Jeremiah is unfaithful. I don't believe that Jeremiah is doing what against the will of God. He's following the will of God. So the Lord brings him and allows him to go into the depths of darkness. Number two, underneath the afflictions from the Lord makes him old and breaks his bones. Think about this in verse 4. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. In a literal sense, this whole ordeal has made Jeremiah very weak. He doesn't have the energy that he once had. Think about it when he says that. He says, my flesh and my skin hath made me old. I'm just tired of this. When is it going to end? When is there going to be something come out of this that brings happiness? When is there going to be something out of this that brings joy? And again, it is not our duty to expect the overall blessings of God in our time. It is our duty to fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. I'm so glad that God is in control. I'm so glad that God is keeping track of everything. And as again, if you know the history of what's happening here, this is after years and years and years of Jeremiah preaching the word of God, and finally God judges his people. Think about when your bones are weak, what happens? One thing that happens when our bones are weak is thinking more of our leg bones, I guess, and I guess the back could have a part of this too, not a doctor, but when our bones get weak, it affects our ability to stand. As people get older, or maybe they have different arthritis or different things like that, and the ability to get up those steps even, it's amazing to watch Brother Gord at 96 years old just be able to walk up those steps every Sunday. I mean, that's just absolutely amazing. And not everyone at 96 can walk up steps quite like that. But there's a lot of us, even at 45, we have a little bit of our bones and different things, and we're not able to do what we once did. And I think about that. As our bones are weakened, so is our ability to stand. And I think about Jeremiah, how easy it would have been for Jeremiah to just said, enough is enough. No one's listening anyway. I'm just going to go sell insurance. I'm just going to go sell cars. Nothing wrong with that. I'm just using it as an illustration. I'm just going to go do something else. No. We see that Jeremiah stayed true to what God had for him, even though he was weak. Even though it said here that he hath broken my bones. I wrote down this, affliction dries up our strength. That's why we have to find our joy. The joy of the Lord, what is it? The Bible says it's our strength. We can't find our joy in people. We can't find our joy in the local church even. And I love the local church, and we need to be faithful and involved, but that can't be where we're anchored for joy. No, we're anchored in the Lord, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. Notice verse 5 to 7. He's like a prisoner. He hath builded against me, and compass me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. Have you ever felt like it? I can't get out of this situation. I can't seem to figure this this problem out. I can't seem to make the right decision. He says, I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Literally, like a prisoner. Verse 8. It was like the heavens were brass. Also, when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. God, are you hearing me? God, are you listening to me? It's as if Jeremiah was saying that. You see that there? It's like, my prayers aren't making it. Verse number 9, the Lord blocks his path even. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. This is not the path that I chose for my life. This is not what I thought the will of God was. I did not think that on January 23rd, 2019, this is where I would be seated and this would be the situation in my life. But you know what? God works in mysterious ways. And I want everyone here tonight to know, be reminded of something. God has a will for your life. And in spite of me, God loves me. And you say, this is not the path that I chose for my life. Well, you know what? Sometimes we got involved. Sin got involved. And even though I'm a sinner saved by grace, and I've made many blunders, I want you to know this, that God has worked out every area of my life, and I give him the glory for it. Jeremiah said, this is not the path. I had a straight line in mind. No, this is not a straight line. This is very crooked. Then, verses 10 and 11, this is all about the affliction from the Lord. It says here, he was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. I don't know which way to go. I feel like I have pressure from the left. I feel like I have pressure from the right. I feel like I have pressure from the front and the back. I've got this expectation at work. I've got this expectation at home. I've got the pastor wanting me to be at all these special meetings coming up. I'm getting torn in every different direction. What he says here. He hath made me desolate. By the way, sometimes it's a blessing when we get to the desolation and we have nowhere to turn. We cannot go and work on our power and our ability. We must rely on the strength of the Lord. Verse 14, skipping ahead a little bit here. He says, I was a derision to all my people. He became an object of ridicule. An object of ridicule. And he said, their song all the day. I don't know if that literally means that they were singing about Jeremiah, making fun of him. The Lord, even verse number 16 to 20, he hath also broken my teeth with gravel and stones. He hath covered me with ashes. Notice verse 17, thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. He says, I have no peace right now. That's a terrible place to be. I forgot prosperity. And I said, my strength and, you know what? This one really got me, and I read this. My strength and my, look at that word, hope. Our hope. What is our hope? Our hope is our solid ground and expectation for good. We know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called, according to his purpose, Romans 8, 28. But yet Jeremiah says that I have no hope, I have no peace, I have no strength. My soul hath them still in remembrance. Remembering mine infliction and my misery. The wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance, and he is humbled in me. Up until this point, nothing Jeremiah could think of is encouraging. I tell you what, when you read that, if you had any kind, if you would read that, and you had any kind of, you know, you were maybe just really fired up and wanting to get something from God, and then you read that, you know what it would do? In a physical sense, but also in an emotional sense, it would let all the air out of our balloon. We have to realize this is a real incident in the life of a preacher. Now let's go back in time a little bit, or in the Bible a little bit anyway, to 2 Chronicles chapter 36. Let's go back there quickly. Let's kind of see what it was took Jeremiah to this level. 2 Chronicles chapter number 36. Let's start in verse number 8, please. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim and his abominations which he did, and that which was found in him, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. And Jehoiachin, his son, reigned in his stead. Jehoiachin was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 3 months and 10 days in Jerusalem, did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. When the year was expired, King Nebuchadnezzar sent and brought him to Babylon with the goodly vessels of the house of the Lord, and made Zedekiah his brother king over Judah and Jerusalem. Verse 11. Zedekiah was 1 and 20 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. Notice this, verse 12, carefully. And he, Zedekiah, did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. Notice what it says about him. And humbled not himself. Look at these next three words, or next two words. Before Jeremiah. This is the prophet Jeremiah who's writing in Lamentations. He's writing about how he's feeling, if you will. He's writing about the fact that the people that he loves and the people that he's been ministering to, the people that he's been preaching to, the nation that he's been preaching to. Notice here it says that he humbled himself, not himself, before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. Jeremiah was speaking. He was a mouthpiece for who? For God. He was a mouthpiece for God. And as Jeremiah was preaching the word of God, it says here that Zedekiah, the king, did not listen to the preacher who was preaching the word of God. So it wasn't really, he wasn't listening to Jeremiah, but he wasn't listening to the word of God. And again, we find the great attention to how pride is so damaging. He humbled not himself. He didn't allow the word of God to come into his heart and do some heart surgery. All of us from time to time, we need heart surgery. We need the Spirit of God to come in there and get out the pride that's in there and get out the bitterness that's in there and get out the things in there, lack of faith. Anyway, all of those things, but let's read on. Not only did he not humble himself, but you know what? It always leads to more. Sin will always take us farther than we wanted to go, right? Not only did he not humble himself, but now he sticks it a step further. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God. But he, look at this, descriptive words, stiffened his neck. You get the picture? This isn't a stiff neck because he slept wrong. This isn't a stiff neck because he was driving and he had his neck in or he's not sitting right or whatever. No, this is talking about the fact that his heart was hardened and I'm not budging. He stiffened his neck. Notice it says there, number two, nextly, that he hardened his heart. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. Thus saith the Lord, this is what God wants us to do. This is how God wants us to live. God wants us to turn from our wickedness. God wants us to turn from our idol worship. And by the way, that is the same message in 2019. We as the people of God, we must turn from our idol worship. Believe me, idol worship is still alive and well. We don't have to have a drum beating in the background, like maybe in Kenya. Have some kind of worship. We all worship idols. Could be the person we see in the mirror. Self. God says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. I wonder tonight, who is taking the place of God in my life or in your life tonight? It's something that we really need to evaluate. And so he didn't humble himself, and so instead he stiffened his neck. He hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. I submit to you tonight that God simply wants us to turn to him in humility. God wants us to turn to him in repentance. I'm not saying you need to get saved again. I'm saying that there's many times in our life that we know the Lord, we're saved, but we rebel against what God wants us to do. We know that God wants us to be involved in this or do this or not do this or not be here or go there or whatever, and we stiffen our neck and we harden our heart and we do it anyway. We're no different than Zedekiah. We're no different. Let's keep reading. This is, by the way, this is Jeremiah who's preaching to the people. Verse 15, and the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had, what's the next word? Compassion. Wow. In the midst of all this rebellion, in the midst of all this idol worship, in the midst of all this stiff neck, hard heart, in the midst of all this pride, God still says, oh, by the way, I have compassion. And that's what Jeremiah even says in Lamentations. We probably won't get there till next time, but he even talks about that in the middle of Lamentations chapter 3. You know that verse. His compassions fail not. Great is his faithfulness. That's right there in the middle of all this lamenting. That's right there in the middle of all this, somewhat discouraging and things that he's going through. And I see that here all throughout the Bible, weaved through the Bible, woven through the Bible, is the mercy and compassion of God. No matter how rebellious the people got, it says that God has compassion. And I look at that today and I say, thank you, because there's times in my life where I'm not doing and being what God, I'm not being what God would want me to do. So then I'm being, and so then I'm not doing. We've got to be what God wants us to be so we can then do what God wants us to do. Notice this. But they mocked the messengers of God. They mocked the ones that had the words of life to help them. We are living in a day where the messengers of God, I'm not talking about from Anchor Baptist Church, I'm talking about now even from the society in which we live in, that the words of God are being mocked on a daily basis. Not only that, but they despised his words. Notice this, they misused his prophets. Until the wrath of the Lord arose against the people. And I just underlined this yesterday, I think. It says, till there was no remedy. Wow. And we know that God had to judge his people, and it talks about that. Let's go back to Lamentations 3 for just a couple moments. That's just to give you an idea, that's the Jeremiah, that's the crowd, a portion of the crowd that he's ministering to. Yet, I'm challenged by Jeremiah. He just continued on for the Lord. Jeremiah, let's go back to chapter number 3. Actually, stop off in Jeremiah chapter 1 quickly. Isaiah, Jeremiah. I found this verse to be interesting as we think about sometimes standing for the Lord. And by the way, this isn't a message about the pastor. This is a message about all of us tonight, because you know what? All of us tonight are commanded to go and teach and preach the gospel. Not everyone's going to receive the message. Not everyone's going to gladly, but you know what? There are people that are still searching. There are people that are still hungry for the things of God. There are people that still know they are empty and they need something. And if we would be faithful, and if we would be faithful to proclaim the word of God continually, I believe the harvest will come as God wills it. I love this verse, though, Jeremiah chapter 1. Let's look at verse 7. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. Isn't that great? Thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. Jeremiah, wherever I tell you to go, that's where you're going to go. Let's adopt that. God, where do you want me to go? Wherever he leads, I'll go. The song we sang to begin the meeting tonight. Wasn't that what we sang about? If Jesus goes with me, I'll go. Maybe God's working on someone's heart tonight to surrender to go to Kenya. That doesn't mean that you'll go to Kenya, but why not surrender to go to Kenya? Starts there. How about surrender to go wherever God wants you to go? But we need to pray tonight specifically for laborers to go to Kenya. God said to Jeremiah, wherever I send thee, that's where you're going. Surely, God, you wouldn't want me to go to Kenya. He may have said that at one point in his life. This is God's will. You won't want to be anywhere but the center of God's will. Wake up one day and say, I'm so thankful that I'm in the will of God today. And by the way, Jeremiah, wherever I send you, you're going to say whatever I tell you to say. Look what it says there, verse 7. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Hey, aren't you glad we already know what to speak? We speak the words of God. These are the words of life. These are the words of health. Verse 8, I like this. Be not afraid of their faces. There's a lot of literal in that. Sometimes when you share the gospel with someone, it's written all over their face that they either don't like it, Or they know this, I don't know what Amy looked like on her face this morning, Brother Dickens, but I would say that when the Holy Spirit of God convicted her and you were giving her the Word of God and she realized that salvation was for her, I could almost guarantee, I wasn't even there, but I could almost guarantee you could tell on her face in some way that the light came on, that she knew that God wanted her to be saved. And we praise the Lord for that. But in Jeremiah's day, not many were looking like that. God says, be not afraid of their faces, for I am what? With thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Lamentations chapter 3. I'll just close by reading verse 21, 22, and 23. Jeremiah has been sharing all of these afflictions, and now he says, this I recall to my mind. I've just remembered something, and because of this, I know that I have hope. Verse 21, see it there? This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. Where's my hope tonight? Where was Jeremiah's hope? That's where our hope needs to be. In the Lord. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. And you know, it's just kind of, just I hope maybe between now and the Lord's Day that you'll take some time. Don't skip over the beginning of chapter 3, though. Read it again as well. Because many times we can relate. We can relate to the feelings of Jeremiah in those first few verses. Then we cannot get past 21 to 24. Because that's the same testimony we all have tonight. That's where our hope is. Our hope's in the Lord. Who is it that maybe God has brought across your path in recent days? Let's pray for them to get saved if they're not saved. Let's pray for them to get into church here if they're not already going to a gospel preaching, Bible preaching church. Maybe they just need some encouragement. I don't know. But, you know, we live in a very difficult world, a very sad world sometimes. And you know what? I have problems and you have problems, but we have God. We have the Lord. The people that aren't saved, what do they have? They have no hope. We have hope. And so as we press on for the glory of God, remember that all the time. My hope's in Jesus. My hope's in